The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Contrarian Investor Podcast. We give voice to those who challenge a prevailing sentiment in global financial markets. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests were not compensated for their appearance, nor do they supply payment in order to appear. Individuals on this podcast may hold positions in the securities that are discussed. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Now, here's your host, Mr. Nathaniel E. Baker.
So global oil markets experienced a pretty severe and dramatic sell-off over the last couple of days. The immediate catalyst for this was a decision by Saudi Arabia and Russia to effectively not cut output, which led to a glut of supply, which of course led to lower prices, dramatically lower prices in this case. At one point, oil was down about 24% since prices recovered a little bit. In a quest to shed some light on this for our listeners, I found Kirill Zadov, who is a political analyst at RUSA Radio here in New York. RUSA Radio is a Russian language radio station. In fact, it's the biggest Russian language radio station in North America, part of iHeartRadio. And Kirill has an interesting background. He's born in Russia, and he talks a little bit more about this. What's more interesting here are his views on just how much longer Russia and Saudi Arabia can toe the line on this policy before they have to cut output and raise prices. And spoiler alert, it's not very long. And so Kirill's view here is, it turns out, quite bullish for oil prices in the medium term. But I don't want to put words into his mouth. Let's let him talk that out himself. Before he does, a reminder that I am hosting the first ever Contrarian Investor virtual conference on Monday, April 20th at 4 p.m. after the markets close in the U.S. This is a web conference I'm hosting in partnership with ValueWalk. There are several hedge fund managers who have signed on to this to give their views on individual stocks. So I fully expect this to be very interesting for people who do participate. And right now, for a limited time, you can take advantage of a early registration offer and sign up for the bargain basement price of $150. It's normally $200. That's going to be the normal price once these limited tickets sell out. There are still some available, though. To take advantage, go to contrarianpod.com/event. That's contrarianpod.com/event. Right. Lastly, before pushing play on this recording, I just wanted to inform you that since this was done very much ad hoc and with very little notice, the audio quality of this recording leaves quite a bit to be desired. It was done over cell phone and recorded that way. And like I said, the quality kind of sucks, frankly. But it's not so much about the quality here, but about the content. And I'm sure you'll agree that it is very compelling. So here you go. Enjoy.
But I'd love to get your views on this oil stuff that happened yesterday. And maybe you can shed some light on exactly what's motivating Russia specifically with their cuts.
Okay. The thing is like that. In my opinion, that Russia right now, the budget and obligations that Putin took upon himself for elderly and for social spending is very big right now. So he got the budget is not in the best condition right now, so they need an extra income to get. So that's why probably they said no for Saudi proposal to undertake extracting cuts and to extend the agreement that they used to have before and even to extend the cuts. That's why I said no. And that, I think the biggest reason, probably the most important reason, is the budget of Russian Federation that is in the deficit right now zone. And that's a lot of money should be spent on people. A lot of promises been made last year, second consecutive term of Putin right now, and 2024 is not that close by yet. So they change the government, you know, they make changes. So they need money, basically.
Okay. But if they cut if they glut the market with oil and oil prices come down as they have, won't that hurt their income? And if they need money, isn't this the last thing they should be doing?
Agree. But I didn't think they calculated properly. I think they miscalculated it. They thought that Saudis and other OPEC countries will do their due cuts, and then the price is going to stay. But there are many more factors affecting the price right now besides that failure to reach a deal, OPEC Plus deal. Also, Corona and all the hysteria. Hysteria in the media, and before that trade war, before with China, before that also we can see that consumption is falling, and when consumption is falling because of the corona also, that I think they miscalculated the consequences of corona hysteria. That's what I think what happened too.
Okay.
So it's a miscalculation on the part, I think.
On the Russians' part.
Yes.
But the corona hysteria was well known prior to this OPEC meeting.
Then you think it's going to hurt that hard, I think.
So Russia wants to cut oil, to drop the price, ostensibly to get more people in to buy their oil, right, if their oil is cheaper.
They cannot expand the consumption base, clients are not going to appear from nowhere. So that's kind of, I think that's a dead end for everyone. Saudis also. Even Saudis right now saying that the extracting cost is very low compared to Russian cost. But Saudis also, they need at least $70, $60 per barrel for budget cost. They have deficit in the budget last 2 years, which is like, it's a record. It's never been like that before. Because of Mohammed bin Salman, all his revision and stuff and reform, they got to get more money also into the economy. So I don't think it's leading to any constructive output. I mean, that's a problem, and they have to, as soon as possible, they got to come to terms. They have to agree on something.
Okay.
Otherwise, they're going to destroy each other's economy. It's not appropriate.
Okay, so you think there should be some kind of agreement here to stop the outflow and to cut output at some point?
Yeah, control damages. Well, they have no other choice.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't do it, then they're going to be stubborn in the mistake, and that's even worse. I mean, it can destroy the economy now.
Is the Russian economy in a worse place to deal with these, with lower prices than Saudi? Or which country do you think is in a worse position?
The Russian economy is in a worse. Saudi economy in a better place right now? I mean, they have reserves. Saudis have reserves. They have a lot of money, basically. They have investments in Russia. Right now, they under sanctions. They can. The problem is with oil industry in Russia also. They, because of American sanctions, European sanctions, they cannot maintain oil drill properly, wells properly. That's kind of money that you have to spend and equipment you got to buy, and nobody is selling that equipment to Russia right now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Russia was supposed to cut productions anyway, but they didn't do it because big money right now. I think that's desperate attempt. I think.
Okay. So what's their end game here?
I think in the end they were thinking that Saudi going to cut more and OPEC going to cut more because Russia is one, but there's a lot of countries who are right now depending on those cuts. So they were thinking, and also they see that Iraq has exemptions from cuts and Iraq's selling a lot of oil. And also they were probably calculating that Venezuela right now under American sanctions doesn't sell. Iran cannot sell properly, also under sanctions. They were thinking, listen, it's not that important for us to go with Saudis on those cuts. We got to receive our money. We can sell as much as we want. But you see, it didn't work like that. So it's
Interesting. Okay. So what other countries in the region are in trouble now as a result of these lower oil prices?
Everybody. For everybody. But the most important is for Iran, because combine all factors with facing Iranian leadership right now, that can be, it's not a death sentence, but it's kind of, it's a process and it's trial and starter. I mean, they have a problem with coronavirus, they have epidemic fears. The economy already for a couple of years in bad shape. And now, with that $30 per barrel, I mean, that can be what's so hard. I mean, people not starving, but I know that in Iran, price for chicken went up 6 times, like, the last 2 years. In Venezuela, it's a very big problem, because they were trying, using Russian infrastructure to sell the oil to avoid American sanctions, but I don't think they now they will be successful, because no oil right now is sold at normal price.
Right. Well, yeah, but Venezuela is already a failed state, effectively.
Right.
Whereas Russia and Saudi are not. So, okay, so how long do you think it'll take for them to come to their terms and to cut output?
I think 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
I think. I made a mistake. But I think if in 2 weeks they're not going to come to an agreement, considering that Putin and Mohammed bin Salman contacted before, and they have their relationship is pretty well. So they should come to terms. And as Trump today mentioned, that it's good, such a low price is good for the economy. Depends for who? For end consumers on the gas station, yes. For economy, for the stock exchange, and for it's not good. And for oil industry, it's not good. And the oil industry likes quiet. I mean, if it's not stable, it's bad. Even if it's down or it's up, it's bad. Oil, it's a futures, because it's futures. And you have to have an oil tanker somewhere in the sea full to the top as a storehouse. I mean, it's a problem, because to store extra oil, it's a problem. It's a logistical problem. So oil likes calm. Oil likes stable market. So it's like everybody understands that.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background, listeners, a little bit about your background, where you came from. I'll do that. Yeah, go ahead.
I was born in Russia. I came to the United States when I was 27, and I studied at NYU for global affairs. Graduated from graduate school over there. Got a master's in Master of Science in Global Affairs. My expertise is Middle East. I know because I studied oil in Russia in the Russian Oil Institute, the biggest university for oil in post-Soviet territory. And I have a tradition, a family tradition. We were oil extractors. So oil is not, it's a topic of my, like, family topic. I mean, we talk about oil sometimes. But the thing is, because my primary focus is Saudi, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Levant, Iraq, all the East and Northern Africa. So I have to know some things about oil. And also, because of the current situation, you have to comment on domestic issues, stock exchange, because it's kind of everything. We live in a very small world. And kind of everything depends on each other. So interdependence is huge. So when you have a problem in one place, so you have a problem in Wuhan, and suddenly you see that all seven Chinese hubs are shut down. People cannot come back to work. And now you see Italy, you see everything. So it's very, the world is a small place, but now it's becoming even smaller.
Yeah, and all interconnected, as we've seen.
Right.
So, okay, bottom line, so you think in 2 weeks, that they should get back on the table here, come to the table and agree on some cuts, which would shore up the price of oil.
And
how low do we go?
Yeah. I think they should do it faster. They have to do it faster.
Yeah. How low do you think we'll go in the interim?
I don't think it's going to go be here. I don't think it's going to come back to 20. No.
Okay.
I think you saw today, right? It was 30 in the morning. Then it became 34. And now it gets back to 30. I think it's separate factors. Maybe Russia stubborn people from both Saudi and Russia are continuing to say that no, we don't want agreement, but they cannot sustain that war of attrition for too long. That's not possible. I mean, it's a suicide.
Yeah,
it's,
okay.
It's a suicide.
Yeah, it's a game of chicken a little bit, isn't it?
But it's too late, or it's too much and too late. I mean, crazy.
Okay, cool. Karel Zadoff, thank you so much for coming on the podcast at such short notice, especially for this emergency recording. In closing, can you tell? Maybe you'll tell our listeners how we can find out more about you. Do you have a website or a Twitter or anything like that?
Oh, you can find me in Real Zadoff on Google. You can find me on SoundCloud and YouTube. Most of my podcasts in Russian. But some of them in English when I take when I speak to a person who is English speaker, so it's in English. So you can find me online. You can find me online easily. Just type Kirill Zadeh for me.
Thank you for listening to the Contrarian Investor Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. To subscribe to this podcast, simply open your favorite podcast software and search for Contrarian Investor. Follow us on social media by searching for Contrarian Investor on Twitter and Instagram. Send us your thoughts on feedback@contrarianpod.com. We look forward to speaking to you again next time. Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.